Welcome back to this week's Off the Bench podcast from the Premier League. I'm Az from FPL Black Box.
And I'm Oscar, FPL Focal.
Game week 34 is 7 matches in, and we still have 6 further matches to be played out. But it's already been pretty eventful. Salah and Darwin were both benched, the Palace attack hauled, and Haaland missed out in the FA Cup semi through injury sustained in the Champions League. Oscar, how's it all going for you?
You know what? It's going great so far.
Oh, there we go.
I'm happy to be on this week for a few reasons. But number one, it's a double game week, which is always exciting. Number two, my wildcard's active now. Number three, I'm on a big green arrow, which is nice for once. 67 points for me. Obviously, still 11 games to be played in my team. I've made some bad transfers this season, don't get me wrong, but I don't think I've made any better than this week's, maybe ever. I bought Eze and Elise in with 2 free transfers. How are you getting on?
Yeah, I'm good. We got to talk about the Elise one, though. There was a bit of panic that I saw from you with a certain Elise and Huang. Not sure which one were being played.
Oh, yeah, I'll tell them. Yeah, it was. I've made my transfer. I'd sold Palmer for Elise just before the deadline. And I suddenly realized I was live streaming. There was about a minute till the deadline. And I suddenly realized I hadn't saved my team. So, yeah, pure panic. Last minute, I just about clicked save team right before the deadline. And managed to bench Huang. But as you said, like, Haaland's got this injury. So after all that stress, it might not even matter anyway. I might get Huang off the bench.
I was sure it was going to work out like the reverse of what you wanted. Like, if Huang was in the team, it was going to be Elise who went big and vice versa. Yeah, I mean, 67 is massive for you. You must be over on triple Palace attack.
I know.
Who would have thought that would be so season defining?
Yeah, it felt a bit risky, you know, because doing that meant I only had 2 Liverpool assets. And it's like, it doesn't feel quite right to go triple Palace attack and just have Salah in terms of my Liverpool attackers. So I had Neto, Saliba, Gabriel, Van Dijk, Salah captain, Saka, Eze, Elise, Mateta, Solanke, and then, of course, Haaland. So we'll have to see if he plays. So really solid start to the game week for me anyway. How are you getting on so far?
Yeah, mine's all right. I got off to a good start. I had double Arsenal defence, so Raya and Gabriel came in pretty early. I took the risk on Eze captain, so obviously I'm happy with that. I know so many people went for Salah, even some Sakas as well, who were kind of the two most popular captain picks that I saw. I rolled the dice on Eze. I mean, I wasn't expecting, you know, the demolition job that we saw against West Ham. I thought Eze would do pretty well. I'm actually a bit disappointed he didn't get more. A goal and assist, but, you know, in 5 goals. When he was instrumental in everything that was going through, little bit disappointed that he couldn't have got a little bit more. But maybe that's just being a bit greedy.
Yeah, it was crazy. You know, this season, Palace haven't scored more than 3 goals. And, yeah, I think it was 20 minutes in, they were 3-0 up. Which, by the way, is the earliest ever in Premier League history that they've been 3 goals up. So, yeah, it was an absolute demolishing of West Ham. Obviously, West Ham played on Thursday night in Europe, so perhaps that was a factor, feeling a bit leggy. It really played nicely into those that took the chance on the Palace attack.
Yeah, I mean, a little bit disappointing elsewhere. Sarabia was benched, but obviously against Arsenal, I had the double defence. Salah benched, Darwin benched, Robertson blanked, and it was Trent who got the goal. And Munoz, who I thought played really well and could have had an assist in that game, and it would have been Eze. Munoz to an Eze assist would have been amazing. But yeah, so a couple of benching, a couple of 1 or 2 points, but, you know, we're only halfway through the week and we'll see how the other half goes.
I mean, it goes back to what you said earlier, by the way. When I was deciding between starting Elise and Huang, I was pretty comfortable on Elise because O'Neill said, you know, he's going to play 45 minutes. So I thought, well, Huang will come on in the second half. And then, of course, I saw Huang start and I thought, oh, here we go. This is where he gets the haul on the bench. But yeah, in the end, I think he only played about 50 minutes and he the last thing he did right before he went off was got a yellow card as well. So I thought, perfect. Yeah, 0-pointer. But hopefully Haaland plays.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny with the press conference, isn't it? Because we get such a mix of different styles. You know, Pep, for example, doesn't give us much on Haaland. Says he's a kind of wait and see. Obviously wasn't in the squad. We don't know whether he's going to start in the next game. But then someone like O'Neill, I mean, he tells us Kuhn is injured and no one even knew about that, so that saved some headaches. He tells us that Huang's only ready for 45, that Aitnori's going to make the bench. Why can't they all be like that?
I know, if only. Yeah, I think a lot of FPL managers have got O'Neill to thank. You know, if they had Cunha and they switched him to Mateta, that's a nice swing. But yeah, some of them are quite open and honest. Some are a bit more guarded. I suppose they just don't want to give anything away to, you know, keep their edge. Like, I'm on the wildcard this week, like I said, and, you know, Eddie Howe can be quite guarded with what he shares. And, yeah, I'm trying to decide, you know, will Trippier play next game week? We'll have to see what happens midweek because they're still yet to play in 34. But he's someone I'd quite like on the wildcard because they've got Sheffield United home next. And then they've got a double in 37 to come as well.
How are you feeling about the wildcard? Because I'm looking at people's teams already that are kind of coming out, and obviously people are targeting the double that's coming in 37. They're selling their Liverpool players, a lot of people selling their Arsenal players as well, bringing in players who, I mean, the Newcastle boys have been Gordon and Isak, for example, Trippier, maybe a bit of a risk, but obviously it's done so well for us this season. But then I'm seeing players like Jackson coming in up top, and I don't know, slightly more risky players, Bruno Fernandes, Manchester United players, for example. Are you taking punts with those, or are you making kind of just minor changes?
Yeah, I was going to ask you about this when we talk about Arsenal later, because there are some uncomfortable decisions to make on the wildcard. I think because Arsenal, Liverpool, they've got no more doubles, it's just single game weeks and that's it for the rest of the season, whereas you've got Spurs and Chelsea that have two doubles to come still, and then we've got lots of teams with one double in 37. So there are some uncomfortable decisions to make. Like, do you sell Saka for someone like Madison, who's got two doubles, but then Madison's blank for the last five in a row? So, there's some difficult calls like that. I suppose we'll talk more about Arsenal later. But, at the moment, I've still got an Arsenal player in despite no more doubles.
Yeah, I mean, Spurs and Chelsea are obviously the ones people are going to be targeting this week because they've got the double coming next week. But Spurs haven't been in great form anyway. Just lost a doggy as well. It looks like he's out for the season. Massive miss for them defensively and attacking wise. Like you say, Madison's been off it. Richarlison's kind of been injured and has kind of come back. So it's Porro and Son, really, isn't it? I mean, maybe Van de Ven or Vicario.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you're taking a punt on someone like a Johnson or a Werner or someone like that. And then Chelsea, I mean, obviously we've got Palmer, that standout option of the season, but where else do you go in defence? Maybe with Petrovic, with Jackson.
I used
my wild card a few weeks ago, and I'm kind of glad not to have this headache. I find the wild card a fun period, but also one of the most stressful.
Yeah, I know what you mean. It can force you into decisions that you definitely wouldn't make normally. And I think the same can be said about the free hit. You know, some people have picked up players on a free hit that differential just for the sake of it. But obviously, in some cases, that worked out. Like Trent, who scored a great free kick. But it doesn't always go that way. And at the moment, I've got Jackson in my wild card. But
I thought you would.
I'm not sure how I feel about it. Like, I might end up switching him to Hoyland because United have got nice fixtures, just one less double. You know, I think they got Burnley next. So big decisions to make. I'm not sure. Watching the FA Cup game, Jackson was a bit wasteful. He does a lot of the right things for me. Like, he's got good movement, he's pacey, but his finishing leaves a lot to be desired. So big decisions to make on the wildcard this week for those that have activated. And I know some are looking to use it in 36, if not this week.
As someone who's had Darwin Núñez for the majority of this season, I can relate to frustration with players who struggle to take all their chances. I mean, you mentioned the free hit. We obviously, you and I did the off the bench straight after game week 29, the disappointing free hit for lots of us, both of us included. It feels like this week has gone really well for free hitters, because you could take a punt on, like you say, you mentioned Trent, like we talked about Jota, you know, the Crystal Palace players that people are loading up on. Do you think we missed a bit of a trick there? I mean, you probably haven't. You've had a good week. You've had a good week anyway. Mine isn't awful, but I'm looking at it and thinking I would definitely be better off if I'd used that. Hard to predict though, isn't it?
Yeah, I think if I'm totally honest, I think free at 39, 29, those of us that used it in 29 have lost.
Yeah.
Like, some interesting stats in the top 10K. The average points on the free hit is 62.7. The average points with no chips is 39.1. Wow. So that's quite a big discrepancy. So I think I have to hold my hands up and say we lost. But luckily in my case, I'm still having a good game week, but it seems like I'm an outlier in that sense.
The average point on the free hit is over 60.
Yeah, in the top 10K.
That is massive. That is a season defining chip, because that's what you want, isn't it? You want your free hit to go that well, and for anyone else that uses it on another week, for it to go as badly as it did. So if you're on the free hit and listening to this, and you're scoring in and around 60, well done. You've had a great week with it.
I mean, those people that used a free in 29 didn't even get 20 points. To be fair, it was almost impossible to pick where the points would come from. I think it was just like Gibbs White got an assist, you know, Wood scored, and that was about it. It was slim pickings, but
it was.
Yeah, so well done if you used your free hit this week and you're having a good week. That turned out to be the right decision.
Yep. Well, two of those teams that played in the game week 29 free hit that we all loaded up on were Luton and Brentford. They obviously played in the first game of the big relegation battle on Saturday. Luton, though, 10 goals conceded in their last two matches. Haven't conceded five or more all season. Had a couple of fours, but no fives. It now means that they have conceded the most shots of all teams in the league, 597. Sheffield United next with 585. And the most shots in the box, 413. Sheffield United next with 391. Wolves players, though, they play Luton next. Obviously, when a team's conceded 10 goals in two matches, we'd be sort of targeting them. But actually, a lot of people are selling their Wolves players because, like you say, wild cards and targeting teams with double game weeks. Should we be keeping them, though?
Yeah, I think for me, it boils down to the doubles now, and you just have to attack the doubles. And the same can be said about Brentford, you know, like five goals they scored, which is the first time ever in Premier League history they've scored five in an away game. 3.14 expected goals, which was top of the weekend's games. Vissa scored a brace, you know, and Bumo got two assists. No Tony. Reguilon got two bonus despite no clean sheet. But yeah, I think right now, you're at the running now, so you have to just target the doubles. So I can't see myself owning Brentford players, Wolves players. For me, it's all about the doublers now.
Yeah, because I'm in a slightly different situation because I haven't got the wild card to play. So I've got Sarabia, for example. He was probably first on my list to take out, and obviously his benching hasn't really helped. But I'm looking at it now, I'm thinking I might give him that Luton game, that Luton home game, because I'm not going to find it that easy to get to Gordon, for example. But Gordon at home versus Sheffield United, Sarabia at home versus Luton, I think if both start, it could be kind of close. You'd still back Gordon, but is it worth using lots of transfers to bring him in? So if you've got Huang, like if you've got Kuhn, if you brought Kuhner in, for example, and you benched him this week, or even played him and hoping for some points against Bournemouth, I think you'd probably stick with them against Luton. Ait Nouri is an interesting one, though, because although Luton obviously concede lots of goals, there's only five games all season they haven't scored in. I think it'd be massive, like a massive loss to the league if they do get relegated. Because every game, you know, there's drama, isn't there? Something happens with them. Obviously, they've had so many injuries as well. So it's amazing how they've managed to score in so many games. But looking at Ait Nouri and thinking, well, that's someone who, you know, I'd probably still back Luton to score in that. So maybe he's someone that you could take out and target another team. But yeah, I think that the Wolves attackers, I think I'd probably leave for one more week, unless I was wildcarding, and then I'd probably take him out.
I was really impressed by Wolves, by the way. You know, really solid performance, despite a lot of injuries. You know, Neto's still out injured. Huang could only play 50-odd minutes. Cunha was out. Ait Nouri made the bench. Semedo injured. Yeah, I've been impressed by Wolves this season, and there's lots of good options in there. It's just, yeah, their front three all staying fit together. And you can say the same about Palace, by the way. Like, it's not very often that you see Eze and Elise both simultaneously fit. But when they're all fit, like, such an excellent team.
Yeah.
But yeah, credit to Arsenal. I mean, they played in the Champions League midweek and they still only conceded 0.17 XG, which was the lowest on the weekend. Saka and Havertz blank, but Trossard and Odegaard got the goal. Again, like, I think that's a win for free hitters. Some people went for Odegaard. Obviously, some people went Havertz as well, but most people don't have Odegaard otherwise. But yeah, three bonus points for Raya. You had him, right?
Yeah. I was happy with that. He does do well in the bonus, which is nice. If Arsenal keep a clean sheet and get two or less goals, I always expect him to be up there. And when he makes a few saves as well, it always helps. He made a great save against Gomez in the first half.
Yeah.
To really keep, you know, your team in it. The double defence, since I moved on to that on the wild card a few weeks ago, has really worked out well. But you know, it can all change around in the second game of the double. Havertz and Saka, really disappointing. Two of the biggest XGI underachievers this week. Saka with 0.49 XGI, Havertz with 0.42. So I think you're pretty unlucky not to get something from them in that game. Confident going forwards, Havertz sort of playing in a more midfield role, a little bit more withdrawn. Obviously Jesus up top with Trossard on the left, both did well. We want Havertz up top, really, don't we, if we've got him in our teams? Mm.
Yeah, Jesus, I mean, yeah, he just doesn't look as good recently. And I think Havertz is better leading the line. They do rotate a bit. Havertz can play in behind when Jesus is up top. Yeah, this is the difficulty, you know, on the wild card in my case, including the defence, by the way. Like, double Arsenal defence has been an absolute cheat code. Six away clean sheets they've kept. You have to go back as far as 2009, the last time anyone got more, 15 years.
Wow.
Arsenal have conceded just 22.7 expected goals in 33 games. So that's 0.68 XG conceded per game. Yeah, I've got my wildcard active. So my focus is double game week 35 and double game week 37 players, as I'll be benching in a few weeks. So I'm asking myself, can I really ignore Arsenal players despite no doubles with that underlying data? So yeah, it's a trap I'm trying not to fall into. And I think I'm going to be keeping at least one Arsenal defender, maybe a midfielder, despite no more doubles. If your wildcard was active, would you have any Arsenal players?
Would I have any Arsenal players? Yes, I definitely would. I think Saka, I'd probably lose Saka.
Yeah.
Which I wouldn't feel great about. I mean, the fixtures are Spurs, Bournemouth, Man United and Everton. Obviously, Chelsea is still within this game week. Spurs away is, who knows what way that's going to go. If ever there was a team to kind of spoil any final hopes of the title, it would be going away to the biggest rivals. But Bournemouth, Man United and Everton are all winnable games. So it doesn't feel great, but I just think at the moment that it's so hard to call with who's going to score points for Arsenal. You know, there was that period where Arsenal were winning, you know, 4 or 5 nil and everyone seemed to be in the points. You know, Odegaard was getting them, Havertz, Saka. But now popping up with, you know, Jesus points and Trossard points, and Martinelli's coming into the team. I think I'd be targeting teams that had, you know, the double in 37. So I think Saka would go. I don't think I'd keep Raya. Either I think Petrovic, for example, with two double games, probably the one I'd go for there. But I would keep a defender. I think Gabriel, I'd still fear him in those three games. Because if he get, you know, there's at least one clean sheet in those last three games. And I wouldn't be at all surprised if he got a goal.
I'm glad you said that. Because, yeah, I've lost Saka on the wild card. I've kept Gabriel. Because yeah. They're home to Bournemouth in game week 36. And they're home to Everton in game week 38. Game week 37 is not great. Man United away. So it's not an ideal bench boost. But I think you can make up the points that surround it. So for me, it's Gabriel versus Dalot. And I think it's quite close, but I quite like the idea of having Gabriel and Arsenal defence coverage in those two home games outside of the double. Mm. So yeah, that's where I'm currently at with Arsenal on the wild card.
It's so funny with Saka, because you look at him from game week 22 to 26 and he scored 10, 9, 15, 15, 10 and then got two assists against Sheffield United for 7. So you look at that run and think, you cannot be without Saka during this. I know other Arsenal players were doing well, but that is like absolute elite numbers.
Yeah.
And then since then, 2-3-0. Okay, 10, big score against Brighton, 2-3. So you're looking at four out of five starts are a blank over that run. And suddenly your player can go from essential, as we like to say, to not needed.
Yeah.
Crazy, I mean, turnaround.
That's the hardest part in FPL, catching players at the right time. Because I know some people sold him around game week 22. Some people bought him then. And that can kind of make or break a season, catching that patch of form. You know,
and then
four
you buy
double
him back
digitals
at the end of it.
Yeah.
And then he blanks again.
I know, yeah. It's typical FPL when that happens. But yeah, that patch of form where he had four double-digit hauls in 5 game weeks. It's just, crazy form. I think what's happened, and we kind of saw it last season, he's been overplayed. There's just not sufficient depth there compared to the left wing. You know, you've got Trossard, Martinelli and Jesus that can all play left wing as reasonable options. But on the right, it's kind of just Saka and Nelson. You know, Fabio Vieira, but he's barely got a look in this season. So I think that might be what it is. I think he's just been a bit overplayed. So I'm interested to see if Arsenal sign a right winger in the summer, some depth for Saka, because then you can rotate once he starts to look leggy, which he has recently, you know, and keep him sharp for the run-in. So I think that's what's happened there.
I think that's where Trossard's been such a good signing for you, because he's obviously come in and he's kind of happy to be on the bench, let Martinelli play most minutes. He can play up top. He's very versatile in where he can play. And finding a player who's happy with that role, because, you know, realistically, a player's going to come in at right wing and not going to play a lot, you know, just there to give Saka a bit of a break every now and then. It's not kind of probably every football player's dream. So you need to find someone with the right mentality who's happy with that. And you know, I thought Nelson's looked really good for you when he's played across different matches. So I'm surprised that he maybe hasn't seen more minutes this season.
Yeah, agreed. Him and Smith Rowe, like, decent options.
Mm. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I think it's a bit of a step down in terms of quality when you're rotating those in. But yeah, they're not bad players by any means. Should we dig into some more of the games from the weekend? Should we do Everton v Forest?
Yeah, let's do Everton v Forest. I mean, that was a massive, massive game. As a Brighton fan, it's I'm glad I'm not involved in these relegation scraps. You know, I look at Luton and Brentford, I look at Everton and Forest, even Sheffield United, Burnley, and they stressed me out thinking about being a fan from one of those sides, because they're absolutely massive. But yeah, huge win for Everton. Big score for Pickford, 121 points for him now over the season. That makes him the joint best scoring keeper.
Wow.
With Leno, which is hilarious, really, when you think about him at the start of the season.
I knew you were going to say that. Yeah.
Yeah, when everyone started with him and he didn't get anything.
It's the same thing as Saka. It's catching those players at the right times. I start the season with Pickford, yeah, and the points just weren't there at all. And I really felt like there was plenty of clean sheets and save points there, but it didn't happen at all at the start of the season. And now look at him, yeah, joint top scorer. Brantwaite started, who was a doubt, obviously picked up the injury, so that was nice for those that had him. Did you have him?
No, I did think about bringing him in, but the injury doubt around him was a bit risky. I think it was a case of this was just such an important game, you know, wrap him up, one leg, Brantwaite, get him on the pitch. I think he went down a couple of times in the game and there was a few worries about him, but yeah, in the end he did the job and they got the win. Mikalenko as well. I mean, he's another been a good option for us this season. 100 points for him over the season. That's the best of all the defenders outside the current top six.
Wow.
Level with Anderson at Palace. Yeah, I don't know. But in some ways, you kind of think, wow, that's an amazing season for Mikalenko FPL-wise. But then you also think, well, does that actually just highlight that defenders in general have been a little bit poor? We haven't had too many exciting attacking options from other teams.
Yeah, I mean, in past years of FPL, I'd line up in Game Week 1 with, you know, Cancelo, Robertson, Trent, big at the back, Reece James, all these guys.
Van Aanholt.
Yeah, exactly. It's just not really happened this season. I think the value's been in midfield. So, yeah, this season, I think overall 3-5-2 has been the way to go and the best formation. Yeah, a couple of contentious penalty shouts in that game. And I imagine a massive sigh of relief for anyone that did have Everton defenders, because that was the one game where you're hoping for a clean sheet. Pickford with the 8-pointer, as you said, because they got Liverpool next. And let's be honest, you're not going to expect much in terms of clean sheet hopes for that one. So, yeah, nice work if you picked any Everton defenders or Pickford for that one.
One of those games where you probably can't quite believe that you've managed to get out of it with 6 points for your defenders in that, because it could have been any score, I think, that game.
McNeil, by the way, someone I think that was completely overlooked. He was maybe a few free hits had him, and he scored as well, obviously, so he did well. So fair play if you picked McNeil up.
Yeah, I mean, I was looking at Everton players, because I was thinking Nottingham Forest at home, that's a decent fixture. Liverpool, you know, the Merseyside derby, anything could happen with that. I was looking across the midfield and I couldn't see anyone that really kind of stood out to me, you know, in that. And Calvert-Lewin, I mean, I really rate Calvert-Lewin, but injury-wise, this season it's just been so disastrous, and went off again with an injury this week and is now got to be a doubt for the game against Liverpool, which will suit them. And if you've got defenders in that, you'll be happy not to see him starting that. So yeah, Everton have been a bit of a funny team this season. Be interesting to see. I think they're probably safe now. So be interesting to see what happens with them and what Dyche does and who he brings in. Because it'd be nice to have a few more options, I think, outside of the defence.
And I think a recurring theme right now is, do we really overlook these proven assets on a wild card? For players that double, Aston Villa 3, Bournemouth 1, Watkins with 2 assists. You know, Solanke scored a pen. Solanke's got a good game again next week. Again, like, do we really sell all these players? Right now, I haven't got Watkins on my wild card. No Solanke either. But yeah, again, both coming up with the points once again. Watkins unlucky not to come away with more. But yeah, the rest of the attackers scored. Bailey, Diaby, Rodgers, all chipping in.
Yeah, I mean, I sold Watkins game week 31. Ahead of that Man City game when he was an injury doubt. And it looked like a good decision. You know, he didn't play. I thought, you know, I was a bit worried about the future because he was a top scoring player in the game. And I was a bit worried about it, but obviously targeting other games. I mean, since then, it's just been a disaster. three goals and 2 assists
yeah.
against Brentford, Arsenal and Bournemouth. looks like a really, really bad decision. I know I'm not the only one that's gone with that. Solanke as well, I haven't gone with him either. That started off okay. He blanked in the first game. I didn't have him on the wild card. And then two goals in two for him and another game to come, obviously. So, I don't know. I mean, I can't imagine you're going to be buying Watkins on the wild card, right? Because, you know, Chelsea, Liverpool, Brighton, Palace, it's not a great run, but he's finding a way to still return, even in difficult games. Yeah, tricky.
And they do have difficult games. I mean, they've got Chelsea home next, so you could argue both sides if that's difficult or not. But they've got Liverpool home in game week 37. They play you in game week 36, Brighton away, and then they end the season with Palace away. Yeah, Villa do feel like the sort of side that can get a result against absolutely anyone. We've seen it this season. You know, they beat us, Arsenal, earlier in the season. So I don't blame anyone that wants to stick with Watkins, who is a proven asset. And I think, he'd be the top scoring player in the game right now, until Palmer plays anyway. We'll have to see how he does against Arsenal. But yeah, right now, he's not in my wild card. I've got Isak, Haaland and Jackson as my front three, but Jackson might end up Hoyland.
He has more goal involvements than Salah did last season, Watkins. Wow. With 36 goal involvements this season and still four games to go. 217 points. I mean, we should be really talking about him as one of the greatest seasons in FPL history. He could go, if he goes on and hits 250 points as an 8 million striker playing for Aston Villa, I mean, no one would have called that, I don't think, at the start of the season. I think many of us predicted Villa to have a good season, Watkins to do well. But if he hits 40 goal involvements over the season in the Premier League, that is absolutely amazing.
He's on 217 points. I think in the all-time FPL dream team, I think it might be Henri, who's on 271 points.
Mm.
So, we'll have to see if he can knock him out of the all-time FPL dream team. But, what a season he's having. How much do you reckon he'll be next season, Watkins? You reckon he'll be like 10 mil? Not that much?
Oh, well, he has to be around that, doesn't he? I don't think he can be priced much lower than that. Maybe, 9-5, 10, something like that. Maybe even 10-5.
Yeah.
That's a tricky price.
Don't give them any ideas. We're on the official FPL podcast. I reckon it'd be 8 mil.
Yeah. Price him low. Make him easy just to get.
What about Palace then? I mean, I've been waiting patiently to talk about this one as someone who had triple Palace attack. 5-2 win over West Ham. Eze, 11-pointer. Elise, 12-pointer. Mateta, 16-pointer. As I said earlier, 20 minutes in, 3-0 up, which is the earliest they've ever had a 3-0 lead. So, what a game week. I mean, which Palace players did you have?
I had Eze captain and Munoz. Obviously, all the points were in the midfield and up top. So having a Crystal Palace defender, wasn't ideal, but better than having Henderson, who unfortunately got the own goal, or Mitchell as well, who got the yellow card. It was actually credited as a Mitchell own goal at first and then reviewed back and given to Henderson. So it's all a bit crazy there. But I think we saw a lot from Mitchell and Munoz to justify the selections of those. Mitchell had a really good chance in that game, and Munoz obviously set up Eze for a good chance as well. So I think we're a bit unlucky not to get stuff from the wing-backs.
100%.
Yeah.
There was that one at the back post, which was literally fallen to Munoz's feet, and he would have buried it, but Emerson got a foot to it and put it in his own goal. So that was unlucky. And the Mitchell own goal, I mean, own goals in general, very unlucky. I can't imagine the roller coaster of emotions, though, if you had Mitchell and he saw that go as an own goal. And then after review, Henderson own goal. So Henderson, minus 1 point at the moment. So we'll have to see if he can get anything against Newcastle in the second game.
It would have been a very harsh own goal to Mitchell because he passes it back and Henderson just miss kicks it. So to have that on your name as an own goal would be quite harsh. So I think it's probably the right decision that goes to Henderson.
By the way, I have to commend you on the Eze captaincy. We glossed over that, but that is brave, I think, because we know most people would have gone for Salah, in the top 10K, 180% effective ownership. So there was a massive risk there. If Salah started and Hall and Eze blanked, that could be season ending this late. So fair play with that. And obviously, Elise and Mateta, they came off at 68 minutes. I was delighted by that, to be honest with you, because the game was starting to slow down and it was clearly a rest to start them both for the next game, Newcastle home. So they did their job. A few returns each.
Yeah, no, it's nice. I mean, I haven't got to worry about the top 10K. That's a distant dream of mine this season. Yeah. I'm more concerned with getting into the top 400K at the moment. Yeah, I didn't really think about it too much. I haven't been too impressed with Salah over the last few weeks. He's scored a couple of penalties, but otherwise, I think he's looked a little bit off it since he's come back from this injury. There wasn't really anyone else in the Liverpool team that I trusted. I did like that double game week, but wasn't really looking at too many other options. And Arsenal as well. I didn't know how they were going to kind of bounce back after the Champions League defeat. And I was kind of looking at Saka thinking, you haven't been... He keeps wincing. Every time I watch him, it looks like he's in pain and wincing. And
yeah,
no, like you said, been played a lot. So, and there wasn't really anyone else in the Arsenal team that I trusted. I just like those two home games for Palace. But I wasn't expecting 5 goals for Palace. I thought maybe they 2-1 or something like that. It was a big result. I mean,
I couldn't believe what I was watching. As pathetic as it sounds, like FPL can make or break a weekend for me. Yeah. And I was in such a great mood watching that game. I thought, what a great weekend this has been. Triple Palace attack. Yeah, 16 pointer for Mateta, which is at the time of recording, the biggest score of the game week so far.
Yep.
So he just needs another 16 points against Newcastle to equal the biggest FPL score of all time. Do you know who it is that got that 32 points?
Was it De Bruyne?
Not De Bruyne.
The 4 goals? Not De Bruyne? No?
You have to go further back.
Rooney? Rooney?
It was Rooney.
Yeah, yeah.
Double game week 22 in the 2009-10 season. He got a goal and an assist against Burnley. And then he got 4 goals against Hull in the second.
I know it was
points.
One of them that got the 4 goals. I couldn't remember which way around it was. Yeah.
Honourable mention to Yaya Toure and Kane, by the way. They both got 31 points before. But yeah, not too much to ask, is it? Just another 16 from Mateta. Yeah, I won't complain.
Imagine Mateta overtaking Rooney and De Bruyne. Again,
yeah.
Premier League legends.
Yeah.
I know. What a season he's had, though. I mean, since Glasner's taken over, 6 goals in 9. For him, he looks a completely different player. His confidence is so high. His conversion rate's absolutely incredible. Real handful. Defenses don't look like they're able to deal with him. And when you've got the creativity around him of Elise and Eze, he looks a great pick. He's going to be a reluctant sell for you, isn't he, on the wild card?
I don't think he will be.
No.
Because they've got
done
no doubles.
Job, yeah, he's bags, done his job. Send him off. Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's the same for Elise and Eze. Like, yeah, it feels a bit wrong selling players right after they've just put up double-digit hauls, but they've done their job for me, so on to the next doubles. Yeah. I mean, Palmer was one of those I sold just purely for 1 week, you know. Mm. Risky to sell Palmer, given how well he's doing this season. But, yeah. I mean, I lost 0.3 mil selling Palmer, by the way, but I do think that the value of team value is kind of inversely proportional to the number of games you got left in the season, so... For me, I was happy to just lose the 0.3 mil and chase the points because, yeah, points over value. So, I'll buy Palmer straight back in. 0.3 mil more it's going to cost me. But, yeah, I'm glad I made that decision where I know a lot of people might have been put off. It's more difficult if you bought Palmer for 4.9 mil, you know, right at the start of the season. Some people were looking to lose 0.6 mil.
I think it's the way the kind of the fixtures have fallen as well because you're not having to worry about bringing in, you know, you might even be thinking of selling Salah and Saka and you know, quite expensive players for our team when you're bringing in Palmers and Gordons and Jacksons and those kind of players. You obviously don't need all the money that we've been saving up all season.
And then there was a bit of a dull end to Sunday's games. Liverpool 3, Fulham 1. Salah, Darwin and McAllister all benched. No clean sheet as well. So I just had Van Dijk actually starting, but no clean sheet. They've kept one clean sheet in the last 12 games.
Mm.
Very surprising because Liverpool's defence generally, historically, has been very good. I think a lot of people are up in arms about the decision to bench the likes of Salah and obviously Darwin. But yeah, fair play from Klopp. Like, he managed the squad perfectly, I think, after playing midweek. But yeah, frustrating from an FPL perspective, really. I think that should point towards a Salah start midweek, though. So I'll take encouragement for that.
Yeah, I think almost certainly. I think it's going to be interesting to know what he does with the other spots because obviously Gakpo scored again and has looked good. Darwin came off the bench and hasn't looked great now for quite a while. Jota obviously was fantastic and Diaz has been their best player over the last month. So I'm looking at it with Darwin and thinking, I don't think Darwin's going to start this Everton game and it's going to be Salah and then, you know, two of the others that come in, maybe Jota and Diaz, maybe Jota gets another nod up top. I don't know, tricky. I mean, nothing we can do about it at this point. There's no point in really worrying about it. I needed a very specific set of things to happen in that Liverpool game for me to be happy. I got one of them, which was the Salah blank. But yeah, Robertson I had over Trent. I was just short of being able to afford Trent. I was really annoyed. They talk about team value, 0.2 off being able to go for Trent over Robertson. So you think back to all those transfers that you made earlier in the season where you could have just saved a little bit of a little bit of money. Like I got Palmer a bit late. I got him at 5-1 or 5-2. If I got him at 4-9, could have been good for it. You know, all butterfly effect type things. So yeah, I was kind of I was happy with the Salah blank, not so happy with the other bits. I'm worried about the Everton game. I think Salah captains will be pretty confident of a return in that.
I mean, you're well ahead right now of Eze captain anyway.
Yeah. Yeah,
I mean, there's nothing worse, by the way, what you just said there, when you're like, oh, I can make this transfer. And then you tap it in on your phone, 0.1 mil short of the move. Same with wildcards, by the way. Like, you could think, oh, this is the perfect wildcard. And then you look up what you've got left in the bank, minus 0.1. Devastating.
And then you end up making other calls to other players and bringing them down, and then that turns out to be the wrong move because one of those. It's such a simple game, FPL, but it can be very, very frustrating at times.
Something that's not simple for me is predicting player minutes week to week.
Mm.
And Liverpool, I think, is a good example of that. I was finding it very hard to predict the minutes of the players. You know, Darwin was benched in Europa, and then he was benched again. I thought that might point towards a start. Gakpo was the only attacker that played the full 90 in Europa, so I thought surely he won't start, and he did. And I wasn't sure about Trent either, because he had to come off early, and you know, Klopp had said he looked absolutely knackered. He said it was insane that he'd managed to play so long, so I thought maybe we'll see Gomez and right back. But yeah, he started, scored a great free kick. So if anyone picked up Trent, fair play, excellent pick that was.
He was one of those ones where I think on the free hit you could take the punt on him, and you know, if he had his minutes managed or anything like that, it wouldn't be the end of the world. I know quite a few people went for Van Dijk, and I completely understand that for the security. I went for Robertson, which was kind of the halfway house between both. But yeah, it was Trent that I really wanted. And again, I think, you know, difficult decisions to make. If you bought in these players and you're looking to sell them on wild cards or for double game week players, you know, it's West Ham next. We just talked about Palace putting five past them. You talk about Europa League taking its toll and injuries and things like that. I would be worried about, you know, Salah, for example, taking out Trent if I bought him in ahead of that game. I mean, have you still got Salah? Are you keeping Salah on the wild card?
I'm not. I was going to ask you about that. No. So you've used your wild card, so I assume you're keeping him.
Yeah.
Is that your plan?
Yeah, he's going to be my kind of differential, I think, between now and the end of the season, which...
Yeah.
I was quite happy with a few weeks ago because I kind of had made that decision to keep him and go with it. But now I'm looking at it and thinking, it hasn't been great for a while. He's now getting rested a bit, and the front three are playing well without him. Might we see another rest from between now and the end of the season? Hopefully not.
Yeah, it's a nice hedge against the wildcarders because I think a lot are going to go without Salah on the wildcard. I can't actually see myself having him, to be honest with you. But yeah, like, it could be one of those that could be massive for you, season defining for the running, because Liverpool out of Europe, obviously Man City out of Europe as well, so that could work in Haaland's favour. But yeah, as it stands, I don't think I'm going to have Salah on the wild card.
Yeah.
But even Haaland, like, we've obviously missed the FA Cup game entirely with injury. If he misses the Brighton game, that's another difficult decision on the wild card. Like, do you keep him? Do you hope he's going to be back the week after? You know, it really depends on what Pep says. But like you said at the top of the podcast, like, Pep tends to be quite guarded with what he says. And in the pre-match press conference for the FA Cup game, he just said, "We'll see," in regards to Haaland. So very vague.
With a smile. And it's hard to,
with a smile on his face. So yeah, I mean, I noticed, I don't know if you saw this, Haaland's family play FPL, and Haaland's brother stuck Haaland last on his bench.
I know.
Before they play you. So to me, that says maybe he doesn't play that game.
And we've seen that previously happen when he had the injury, and that was called by family members putting him on the bench.
They all sold him, before his injury. Yeah, it was made public. So that's a bit concerning. So I might end up getting Hwang off my bench anyway, after all that stress about wasn't sure if it's saved or not starting Elise. So yeah, that's another one. That's one for another day anyway.
Yeah, the Haaland one's interesting though, because you mentioned about, you know, not making transfers based on value because there's not many weeks left. We've got to think of how much value you're going to get out of Haaland. If he does miss the next game, there's not too many games left. I know he's got the double in 37, but you could use, you know, there's if we just need points at this stage. It's not about, so much less around future planning and just more about the immediate returns that these players can get. So yeah, again, that could be a season defining decision for you. If you do decide to go without him and then suddenly makes a miraculous return, then you might be scrambling back to bring him back.
We'll have to see what's said in the next few days, but they are out of Europe, as I said, out of the Champions League. Last season, obviously, they weren't. And in double game week 37, Haaland started one and he was benched the other one.
Mm.
So, you know, assuming he is fully fit, at least I think there'll be less risk of rotation there. I think I might have Foden as well as my second City asset and maybe Vardy or Edison.
Yeah, I'm a Vardy owner. I was a bit worried to see Ake come back. Might eat into his minutes a little bit. But he has played really well the last few games and I think had a rest in the cup game. So looks good at least for next week.
Game week 34 is going to finish on Thursday and then we'll head into another double game week where Chelsea and Spurs will play twice. With six fixtures to go though, it might be wise to hold those transfers and be patient. Kelly, Jules and Sam are going to be back on Thursday to talk through what happened in the rest of the game week 34 and look at the must-haves for game week 35.
If you haven't done so already, join the FPL Pod League. The code is IB3WLK.
Thanks for listening. See you next time, everyone.
See you later.